Well, good morning, everyone. It is a blessing for us to be here. We thought we would be live streaming church this morning, so it is a great blessing for us to be here. And as the pastor said, we are the Holman family. We have been in the country of Italy, specifically the city of Rome, for the last 13 years. We would just not take a lot of time this morning. We'd invite you to pick up a prayer card from the table here, and it has basically all of our information. And like most Baptists, best place to put us right on the refrigerator, help you remember to pray for us. And on the back, it lists our five mission goals, the five things we've been doing there in the city of Rome the last 13 years in the effort to plant churches. And we did fly out March the 2nd. And again, when we flew out in our state where Rome is at, I believe there was one confirmed case. When we landed in New York, JFK, there were already more confirmed cases in the state of New York than in our state. But things quickly exploded. But primarily, it's still in the north. It's mostly in the north. We do still have two children there, our oldest two. Our son, 23 years old, he works as a English teacher in the Italian public schools. So at the moment, he's unemployed. But doing some Skype lessons, private lessons, and our 21-year-old daughter stayed to take a driving test. Of course, that's all canceled now, but we do appreciate you praying for them. They're fine. We Skype with them every couple days, and our church families, both the English church that we have there and the Italian church, everyone seems to be doing fine. Not a big outbreak, thank God, in the city of Rome. But we do appreciate your prayers for our oldest two children and our brothers and sisters there in the city of Rome. But please pick up a prayer card, pray for us. We are the Holmans to the Romans. And no, I cannot say that I came up with that, but I'll definitely use it if it gets people to remember us. Amen. Thank you so much again for the privilege of us being here today. I'd like to ask you to take your Bible, turn to Mark chapter 4, and I want to take just a few minutes this morning. This water's for me, I'm assuming here.
Yes, sir.
It's not catching a trip.
No.
Mark chapter 4, I've been praying all week about what the Lord would have me to try to minister to you folks with this morning. Mark chapter 4, I want to start in verse number 35. Mark chapter 4. And verse number 35, and I want to read to the end of the chapter here. And the Bible says, "In the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there arose a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're so thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for us, his blood that was shed. Father, we're so thankful this morning that we have a place to meet here this morning. But more importantly, we have a purpose for meeting. And Father, we're so thankful that you've given us a Bible that's perfect and without error, that we can believe every word. And Father, I do pray that you would meet with us this morning. Oh, Father, I pray that you would help me to minister to these folk this morning. I pray that you would give us eyes to see, give us ears to hear, give us a heart to receive these things this morning, Father. And as I preach, Father, I pray that you will reprove, rebuke, exhort, whatever needs to be done in each and every heart, Father. And God, I do pray now that you'll bless the time we have together, and we ask it in Jesus' name and for his soon return, who is worthy. Amen.
Amen.
If you're into titles for sermons, I guess from this passage, you come up with all kinds of titles, dealing with difficulty in your daily life, everyday life. This passage is going to have application to every single person throughout your life. I guess we could call it even coping with Corona, if you really want a title for it. Amen. And I'm sure that everybody's heard about the virus going around. As your pastor said this morning, they tell us it started in Wuhan, China. Very interesting. He mentioned the Kuntz family. Is that right? Kuntz. Somebody sent me a copy of a book by the author Dean Kuntz. That's it. That's not the same Kuntz, I'm assuming. Okay. And it's interesting because in the book he talks about in the year 2020, this virus that attacks the lungs and the respiratory system originating in Wuhan, China. I don't know if the guy's a prophet. I don't think so, but very interesting. But as your pastor said, use common sense. People are getting stressed out, you might say. They're flipping out. And I've told our people in for years there in Italy for the last 13 years, use common sense. If you're sick and you're contagious, especially that stomach flu, stay home. Amen? We believe in sharing, but we don't believe in that kind of sharing. Amen? I mean, you get a good case of the stomach flu, you're going to wish you had the corona flu. Amen? That stuff is bad. I have to tell our people 13 years, you know, if you sneeze, do it like this. Amen? I don't know if they train children in Italy or not, but every time you see an Italian sneeze, achoo, and then they'll go up, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. You know, common sense. You know, the Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. There's all kind of things that you can do and to prevent this thing. But nonetheless, people are scared. Amen. And if it's not the corona, it's going to be something else, some kind of trial, tribulation, or tragedy in your life that's going to cause you to be scared. It's going to cause you, just as the apostles here, they were fearful. Amen? And I want to look at this passage this morning. I want to see about four or five things quickly that may help us when coping with some kind of a tragedy in your life. Something, doesn't have to be corona, but something that's going to bring about some kind of tragedy in your life, or trial in your life, or some kind of tribulation in your life. Look back there in verse number 35, where the Bible says, in the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Now, I'm going to say that he brought this about. Do you not think that the Lord, the creator of the universe, did not know that this storm was coming? Amen. I mean, either he for sure knew it was going to come, but I kind of think that he brought this thing about. You know, I'm just a dumb redneck from Alabama. What do I know? But I just got enough faith to believe that the Lord brought this storm about for this specific place, this specific situation. I want you to take your Bibles for a second. Look at Nahum chapter 1. From where I come from, we call this treaching, combination between teaching and preaching. And I tend to use a lot of scripture. We look and we turn, and I told our people that I want the Bible to be your final authority, not me. Amen. And I have a bad problem with misspeaking. My wife's always correcting me. I say something I don't mean to say. I don't know why that is. Probably some defect in my brain. And if I'm going to misspeak, I don't want to misspeak Scripture. Amen? Yes, and another good thing is it helped you learn your Bible. Amen? Yes, flipping around back and forth helped you learn your Bible and help keep you awake. Amen? Especially if it's boring preaching. But Nahum chapter 1, notice what the Bible says here in verse 3. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. This is the creator of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew that storm was coming because I believe he brought that thing about for a specific reason and a specific purpose. So you might think, well, so you're trying to say that this Wuhan virus, or the Chinese virus as the president's calling it, was brought about specifically and intentionally by the Lord. I'm not going to make that statement this morning, but I know that he allowed it to come to pass. That much I do know. I mean, he could have stopped it if he wanted to. You know, diseases are not outside the scope of the Lord's power. Amen. You know, Pastor mentioned it. I think it was Pastor. Maybe I listened to it this morning on tape. Exodus chapter 4, when the Lord was talking to Moses, getting ready to prepare him to bring his people out of Egypt. You know, Moses said, Lord, they're not going to believe that what I'm telling them is coming from you. So the Lord said, all right, I want you to take your hand, stick it in your bosom, came out, and it was leprosy. And I think that's probably the first recorded disease in the Bible. And the Lord brought that thing about. Take your Bibles now and go back to Exodus chapter number 15. And we'll see the origin of diseases. Exodus chapter number 15. Exodus chapter 15. Verse number 26. And the Bible says, Exodus 15, 26. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes. Notice this, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now again, I am not stating emphatically 100% that God brought the Wuhan virus around, or the coronavirus, or the COVID-19, or whatever the many names there are for it. But he allowed that thing to happen. I understand that very well. And I can't tell you specifically why. People may have theories as to why this thing is sweeping the globe as it is. And that's not my text this morning. But suffice it to say, God at least allowed the thing to take place if he didn't start it himself. And just as the Lord Jesus Christ allowed that storm to come about, although I'm convinced he brought that storm about. Various things happen in this life. Epidemics happen. Things sweep the globe from time to time. And these things will happen. I would be a fool to stand up here and tell you that bad things aren't going to happen. But you have to understand the origin of all these things. So what is the origin of a virus? What is the origin of sickness? What is the origin of disaster? What is the origin of famine? What is the origin of drought? What is the origin of death itself? It all goes back to sin. See, this ain't God's fault. Everything that bad in this world that happens is a result of sin. Death itself. It's all a result of sin. God brought this thing about. God allowed this thing to happen. And it's going to happen for a reason. I can't tell you specifically why or how. But God is still on the throne. God is still in control. You know, I did some reading on this stuff. And about pandemics, as they like to call them. And there was the great flu pandemic back in 1918 that supposedly killed between 50 million and 100 million people. Then back in 2009, more recently, there was the swine flu pandemic. Then in 2014, there was the Ebola breakout in West Africa. And I don't know why these things happen this way. We did our first furlough in 2014. Maybe I'm going to quit scheduling furloughs. I don't know. Maybe there's some kind of connection there. And we came to America back in 2014 and had some cases of Ebola here in America. Had some breakouts down in Texas, down in Dallas. And we were scheduled to go to Dallas when that outbreak took place. So what'd you do? Well, we went on to Texas, amen. I don't reckon any of us got Ebola. God took care of us. But these things happen. If it's not the coronavirus, it'll be something else. Some kind of a trial, tribulation, tragedy, a pandemic, and these things will take place. God's still on the throne. God is either bringing these things about or allowing these things to happen. I'll just say God brings them about for specific reasons. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ was on that boat, and the Lord Jesus Christ knew exactly what was going to happen. You know, he didn't tell those boys. He didn't say, all right, boys, go on. I'll meet you on the other side. Good luck. We'll see how that thing works out. In fact, go back to our text in Mark chapter number 4. Mark chapter 4, verse number 36. The Lord brought that thing about. And then in verse number 36, the Bible says, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were with him also other little ships. So the Bible says plainly in verse 36 that he was in the ship. I mean, he's God, he's a creator, he brings that storm about, and then he himself gets on that boat. I mean, most of these disciples, a lot of these disciples were professional fishermen. If a storm comes up and rears its head and a professional fisherman gets concerned, that's a storm, buddy. But the Lord didn't just say, all right, guys, see you. Stand on the dock waving to himself. I'll see you on the other side. Good luck. Hope it all works out for you. He was on that ship with them when the storm came about. Go back to Genesis chapter number 7. Genesis chapter 7. First time I read this, it was a blessing to me. Genesis chapter 7, look at verse number 1. And you guys all know the context. God's getting ready to destroy the earth with a flood. And tells Noah to build the boat. And when the construction's done, Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, and the Lord said unto Noah, look at that next word. He didn't say, go thou and thy family into the ark. Come thou and thy family into the ark. Amen. He didn't just say, all right, I'm going to walk up the door with you, and I'm going to greet you, and I'm going to seal that door, and you're locked inside by yourself. The Bible says, come thou and thy family into the ark. The Lord was with them on the ark. He brought the flood about, and yet he was with them during the flood. The Lord Jesus Christ brought that storm about, and yet he was with them in the boat. See, yeah, these things are happening, these pandemics, these things are going to take place during our lifetime. We're going to see some bad things that the Lord's going to bring about, but the Lord is going to be right there with you. It's not like the Lord's sitting up in third heaven on the throne saying, good luck, fellas, hope it works out for you. Come thou and thy family into the ark. When he put Noah into the boat, he was there with him. When Elijah was at the brook Cherith in 1 Kings chapter number 17, the Lord was right there taking care of him during the drought, during the famine. He was with him and took care of him. Jeremiah, during the siege of Jerusalem, you know, when they lowered him, Jeremiah down into the prison, down into the jail, in the dungeon, he sunk down into the mire and the muck. What do you think the Lord was? The Lord was with Jeremiah during that entire siege. He took care of him. No matter what trial, tribulation, or tragedy comes about in your life, you've got to understand, if you're the Lord's and you're bought with a price, yeah, the Lord is not going to leave you and desert you. He's going to stay right there with you. Amen. It doesn't mean bad things won't happen, but it means the Lord's going to be there. Verse you guys know in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, the Lord says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. The Lord is not going to abandon you because bad things happen. The Lord is not going to abandon you because of trials, tribulations, or tragedies. When a storm comes, the Lord's going to be right there on the boat with you. I look in Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter 8, look at verse number 35. This passage is a great blessing to me. Romans chapter 8, verse number 35. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse number 35. The Bible says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now I realize the eternal security implications here, but notice the closeness. Notice the fellowship. Notice the Lord being with you. And the Bible says, shall tribulation or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And again, I understand the doctrinal applications there. When you're in Christ, he's in you. Nothing's going to separate you from him. But why would you think that when some kind of pandemic sweeps the globe or any type of a trial or tribulation or tragedy in your life, why would you think that the Lord's not going to be there with you? Why would you think that he's going to abandon you? Now go back to Mark chapter 4. Let's see something else from the passage. Mark chapter number 4. And look at verse number 39. Mark chapter 4, verse number 39. And the Bible says, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And notice the result. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. You know, in any type of a situation in your life, the Lord, when He chooses to, He can stop it.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes,
sir. I know the Lord could stop this whole thing tomorrow if He wanted to, whatever it is. I'm not sure what it is, but the Lord could stop it anytime He chooses to. The Lord brought that storm about. The Lord was with them during the storm. And when the Lord saw fit, He ended it just like He started it. See, the Lord has the power in any kind of a situation in your life, anytime He chooses,
yes,
if He chooses,
yes,
to bring it to an end. And thing was, He preserved those disciples. I don't see any written account that He lost any of the disciples on that voyage. During the storm, best I can tell, they all made it safe and sound to the other side.
Amen.
He didn't lose any. He can stop it anytime He chooses to and preserve you through it if He so chooses to. I read my Bible. He was with Noah and He preserved Noah and his family during the flood. And He was with Elijah there at the brook Cherith. Amen. And He preserved him through that.
Sure.
He brought it about. He was with him and He preserved him. And He stopped it when it was finished. He was with Jeremiah during the siege. He preserved Jeremiah during the siege. And He brought that thing to an end. And see, the Lord, just like He did in the passage, He can step out in the bow of the ship and say, "Peace, be still." Amen. He's got the power to do that. Look back there in Mark chapter 4 if you're not still there. But notice then what He did in verse number 40. And He said unto them, "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" He rebuked them for their fear. What an amazing thing. You say, why would He do that? Well, my Bible says in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. I guess the ideal situation where those disciples have been like, hey, we got the Creator back here. He brought this thing about. He's with us. I don't reckon we're going to die if He doesn't want us to die. I mean, that's the ideal situation. I mean, the ideal situation is in any situation, a pandemic, a trial, tribulation, a tragedy, whatever it is, to sit back and say, I'm His, I'm in His hand, and I'm not going to die unless He wants me to. I'm not going to get sick unless He wants me to get sick. I guess that's the ideal mentality. I guess that's the ideal mindset. And yet He rebuked them for their fear. Look over in John chapter 16. John chapter number 16. John chapter number 16. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John 16:33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in Me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." There's not going to be the absence of trials. There's not going to be the absence of tribulations. There's not going to be the absence of these pandemics, if you want to call it that. But He said, hey, you can have peace. I'm here. I'll be with you. I mean, that's a great blessing. In fact, look back at John chapter 14 when He's describing the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. The Bible says in John chapter 16, here's one aspect of the office of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says in John chapter 14, verse 16, "I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Verse number 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." And then notice what He says in verse 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." If you're saved by the grace of God, the Holy Ghost of God dwells inside of you. And one of His names here is a Comforter. And that the result of that, verse number 27, is "peace I leave with you." That's a huge blessing. Yes, see, this world, because of sin, it's going to have all kind of problems. Life is going to have all kind of problems. They're not going to be enjoyable. that are not going to be fun. And yet, you and I don't have to live like the world. You don't have to live like an unsaved person. You say, what is that? Full of fear, full of anxiety, stressed out all the time. Look at Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter 4. Now, anybody could have peace in such in a situation like this. It would be amazing to the world. An unsaved man, look at a saved man that trusts God and it's got fellowship with God and it's got some peace. And look at that and be confounded by that. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, look at verse 7. We'll get back to verse 6 in just a minute. But the Bible says, and the peace of God. Now the peace of God, that preposition's important. The peace of God is not to be confused with peace with God in Romans 5:1. At Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Say that, why is that? Well, because before I got saved, I was an enemy of God under the wrath of God. But when I trusted Jesus Christ, when I received Christ, when I got saved, I got born again, the Bible says I was justified by faith. I was reconciled to God. I was no longer an enemy of God. I was no longer under the wrath of God. So I had a legal peace with God. But this peace of God, notice this, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. What I got to do to have the peace of God? Back up to verse 6. The first part is be careful for nothing. Now, not the way we use the word today. Be careful you don't fall off. Be full of care. Be careful for nothing. You look around the world, I mean, people are careful about this thing, man. They're all full of all kind of care. You go to Walmart, man, you couldn't find toilet paper or water in there if you spent all day walking around. I heard a guy say the other day, I didn't know dysentery was one of the symptoms of this thing. But water and toilet paper, you just can't find it anywhere. People are full of care. But the Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made unto God. And as a result, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He say, what happened here? He rebuked them for being so fearful. I wonder how many saved people are going to get rebuked for being so fearful about this thing. Now go back to Mark chapter 4 with me quickly. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And if watching Fox News or CNN is filling you with care and stressing you out, maybe you don't need to watch CNN and Fox News. Amen? But Mark chapter 4, I want you to look with me in verse number 41. And finally, the Bible says, and they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? He rebuked them for being so fearful. Problem was, they had their fear in the wrong thing. Now, why is it that we lose the fear that we should have? Why is it that we fear what we shouldn't and don't fear what we should? You know, my Bible says the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Why is it that we'll fear some virus and won't fear God?
Yes, sir.
Say, but I can't see a virus. I can't see God. Well, can you see that virus? I mean, that's an amazing thing. He rebuked them for their fear. Their fear was misplaced. See, fear is a good thing if it's in the right person.
That's
amen?
Right, yes,
I mean, yeah, that fear of God is clean. That fear will lead you from sin. Fear of God is a good thing. Proverbs 29:25, the Bible says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord, the Bible says. That's a good thing to fear God and not fear man.
Yes,
and yet we've got that thing backwards. We're fearing man. We're fearing circumstances. We're fearing viruses. We're fearing all kinds of things. Economic collapse. And what about fearing God? See, if you feared the right person, maybe you wouldn't fear what you shouldn't fear. Take your Bibles, go over to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. In my daily Bible reading this week, this verse just jumped off the page at me. Matthew chapter 10, look at verse number 28. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 28. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, and fear not them which kill the body. He's talking about people there, but how about a virus? I mean, you can die from all kinds of things. But he says, and fear not them which kill the body. Whole lot of people are fearing corona, COVID-19, whatever you want to call it. But the Lord goes on to say, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Got a whole lot of people fearing things they shouldn't fear, and you've got no fear of the one that can cast their soul into hell.
Yes, sir.
In Luke 16, the Bible says that rich man died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torments. Man, that's somebody, when somebody puts you in hell like that, that somebody should be feared. And even after you get saved, that fear is good. Amen.
Yes, sir.
So he rebuked them for fearing the storm. And then the Bible says, then they feared him. So that's a good thing. You know, I'd be a fool to stand here and tell you that none of us in this room today have anything to worry about as far as contracting said virus. I'd be a fool to say that. I can't tell you that you're not going to get it. I can't tell you your family's not going to get it. I'd be a fool to say that. I'd be a fool to stand here and say that you're not, just don't worry about it, you're not going to die. I'd be a fool to tell you that you or anybody you know is not going to die of this virus. That'd be a foolish thing to say. But I can tell you, by the authority of the Word of God, you are going to die. I mean, my Bible says it's appointed a man once to die, but after this, the judgment. I can tell you you're going to die. That much I do know, amen? I can tell you that with all authority. How, I don't know. Unless the Lord in His mercy comes back and takes out of here like He did Enoch. That'd be a great thing, amen? That blessed hope. I want to go to heaven. But I don't necessarily want to go. You know, I can think of many ways I don't want to go. I don't want to go dying of cancer. I don't want to go by getting hit by a train. There's a lot of ways I don't want to go. But I'd like to go with my family all at the same time, in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, have my body change and be with the Lord. That would be a great blessing. But I do know unless that happens, I am going to die.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So say, what happened here? The Lord Jesus Christ brought that thing about. The Lord Jesus Christ was with them during the storm. He chose to preserve them during the storm. But then He rebuked them for fearing the storm. Say, why? Misplaced fear.
Yeah.
So I would encourage you this morning to realize, yeah, there may be some kind of a storm raging now around the world. I understand that. And if the Lord didn't specifically cause it, He allowed it to happen. But hey, if you're His, He is not going to abandon you. He's not going to leave you. And if He so chooses, He will preserve you through it. But don't misplace your fear. Don't fear the coronavirus. Your fear should be of the Lord. That's a good thing. That'll keep you clean.
Yes, sir.
Pastor, would you come, please? I'm finished.
Yep. Brother Holman, thank you. Fill my trust in what God showed me you'd do, and I'm glad of that. Father, I want to thank you very much for all this being here, and I pray now that you keep these people safe that have come. My God, you know the lottery that would come with any of these when you get the virus. You know those who would run their mouth. And so I pray, preserve these that have come. Preserve them over these next weeks. And Lord, for those who have those unreasonable fears, preserve. Keep them safe. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.